Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
An absolute cracker of a game. Just a brilliant game.
Come on, dude. You don't talk like that.
I do during the World Cup.
No, you don't.
During the World Cup, my vocabulary expands significantly.
Yeah, I like how brilliant just gets tossed around.
Brilliant!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, our buddy Josh Lewinberg fighting traffic. He's expected to be in studio at some point this hour. I hope he makes it, because the thing about radio is we're off the air at 7, so if Josh pulls into the parking lot at 7,
yeah,
I don't know what to tell you, man. We're out of here. So I hope he makes
then.
It. We'll chat then.
6:53, you're out. He's out.
Stick around for a stop and chat. I mean, I can give you 5 minutes in the hall or whatever, but...
We like J-Lew.
Love J-Lew.
J-Lew's been breaking some stuff. Like, he's...
He's like a baby Woj.
I was going to say...
A baby Wojnarowski.
Slid into that area of, like, in the know, an insider, and... Pretty well respected. I like it.
Well, he was ahead of the whole Dwayne Casey stuff. Like, basically, day one, he's like, sources indicating whatever source he had, it hit it on the nail,
spot
man.
On.
As he said, they're looking to move on from Casey. And I would assume, just based on that report and the way everything played out, that, yeah, Masai probably knew he was moving on from Casey.
Yeah.
Definitely after game four, but I wonder if he knew after game one. That would be a great inside the locker room moment. Like an HBO All Access, if after game one against Cleveland, when the Raptors choked that game away.
So pivotal.
That was it.
That was a series.
That was a series. It was over. When they choked that away, it was over. I wonder if you got Masai in a candid moment, 5 minutes after that game, and went to him and said, do you think Casey's back next year? If he would say yes. I think he'd probably say, now he'd be emotional, but he'd probably say either, I can't give you that answer, or no, he's not coming back.
Right.
That might have sealed it for Casey after game one, which, again, is ridiculous because the Raptors missed 11 shots in a row down the stretch. Yeah.
What about the performances from the star players in a lot of that series? What does it have to do with the coach? Is he supposed to motivate them in that particular situation?
I don't know how you motivate guys to hit shots. Valanciunas had, what, 3 or 4 touches under the basket with 2-3 minutes to go? You're supposed to motivate a guy to find some touch underneath the rim?
I'm not even... Did they not... Wasn't it the last 4 minutes of the game they didn't score a point? Wasn't it something ridiculous?
They missed 11 shots in a row, so it was something like that. I don't remember the exact timeline.
That's sticking out in my head, like where they could not make a basket, like whatever timeline it was, that last 3 minutes or 4 minutes, which is ridiculous.
Mm.
And maybe if the Raptors make massive moves, Masai may have decided... some of the players' fate that night.
Well, potentially, but that said about Valanciunas, I mean, he's been coming out recently, speaking in Lithuania, that he's a big fan of the Nick Nurse hiring,
right.
That he and Nurse worked really closely over the years. They've got good communication. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. If Masai's going to trade Valanciunas, by all accounts, he tried to trade him last offseason, couldn't find the right suitor.
Right.
So, based on everyone you talk to, and I'm sure Lewinberg will be able to corroborate this as well, everybody is on the table.
Yeah.
But you're not going to trade everybody. You're not moving out 12 bodies because you lost to Cleveland again. Especially, as we said yesterday, if LeBron is
gone.
Moving to the Western Conference.
Yeah.
The best sales pitch possible to your fan base is, see that guy who has owned us? He's no longer in our conference.
He's gone. You got to face him in the finals if you can get there.
And he's got to try to go up against Golden State and Houston. And speaking of which, we haven't got to this Ayesha Curry story. You guys hear about this?
This is disgusting.
So I guess she's got like a, it's not a rest, I don't think it's a chain, but she's got a restaurant. And it's like a barbecue restaurant. And she's big into cooking. She's got that new show coming up on ABC.
Right.
And they're opening a new restaurant in Houston that is not open yet, but they've announced it. It's coming.
Right.
And because of the era we live in, if you've got something that is coming in terms of a restaurant or a store, you've got to be online.
Yeah.
You've got to be available via Yelp and all that kind of stuff. And Rockets fans, because they're so rattled that Ayesha Curry's husband has owned them in the playoffs, have been going on Yelp, giving the restaurant that is not even open yet 1-star reviews and carving it just because they're petty and because they're rattled.
Well, are you shocked at that? People are such idiots. By the way, Yelp's a farce anyway.
But it can change the world, Yelp. Yelp, like if you are, I just had my windows done. Like we got shutters in the house. And this guy who owns and operates the company did a great job.
Yeah.
Came up to me afterwards, after I had paid him a lot of money, and he said, if you could do me a favor and just go on this, download this this app, I don't remember what it was called, it wasn't Yelp, but and give me a 10-star review. And what I found interesting was he said, anything less than 10 stars might as well be zero.
I'm with who's our comedian buddy there, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Maniscalco.
He's like, who has time for this?
Here's time
when
for
I have a garbage meal, I look at my wife and say, the salmon sucked. Let's get the hell out of here.
I know. That bit is so funny. He's like, you don't go home and write an 18-page review.
Essay.
Yeah, essay about how like the asparagus just, was brutal. Yeah.
You're right. I don't think the average person would ever think to do that. What happened to complaining to the manager or complaining to the waiter or waitress?
No matter how good the restaurant, someone is going to go in there and have a negative experience. Sometimes something's not cooked right. It's not proper. The service is bad on a particular occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk to the manager, get a free beer out of it, go ahead.
It's all walks of life, though. Every walk of life is online being reviewed by people.
But when I go to a restaurant, I don't go on Yelp to see what other people are saying about it.
I've never have in my life.
But people do, though.
No, you're right.
People do. And it's where you show up. A lot of it, my understanding is, you're going to Houston for the weekend, you're on Yelp, what should I be looking for?
Right.
And if it has bad reviews, it's not even going to show up.
Right, right.
You know, the five stars are up at the top. So it's not even going to be on the radar of people, and that affects the business.
It does. But you did you give the guy 10 stars? Sounded like he did a good job.
I did. I did that. Yeah. I don't think I did it personally. I think my wife downloaded the app and she did it. And he deserved it. I was cool with that. But that's what it's come to. The point I'm making is...
You would have given him 9, he's in big trouble.
But that's what he said. He said, anything... If you give me 9, you might as well give me 0. I'm like, really?
Then you get a 0.
I guess. You know, like, almost out of spite, I have to give you 0 or 9. Yeah. But that's what it's come to. If you're a small business or if you're a restaurant, you have to be just... pleading with people, don't go online and ruin me.
Yeah.
Because that's the power of the consumer now.
Yeah, it is. But
Troll. The power of the troll.
Yeah, well, you're right. It is. It's somehow they've gotten a little bit of power, like, especially when it comes to a business.
Well, and it's an accumulation. Right. You know, and that's what's happening here is all these Rocket fans are like, okay, I'm going to get back at the Currys.
It is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It is, because... regardless of what you think of Steph as a player and him and his team beating you, what's it got to do with the wife?
Absolutely nothing. What does it have to do with the restaurant? And what happens if you actually do go there and it's the best barbecue you've ever had?
Yeah. No, it sucks because...
That's the world we live in.
Yeah, I know.
Streakers are suing players for getting laid out. People are giving bad Yelp reviews because the husband of the owner torched your favorite team.
Maybe
it's a lesson for the Currys and for anybody else with celebrity. You gotta don't go there. Like, how silly is that? But that may be the lesson.
What did she really think with how gross people are these days?
But when your
husband's enemy number one, and you want
to
fire up a restaurant in a rival town, what did you think was going to happen?
But if you want a chain, for example, say you start a chain. People buy the franchise rights and they want to bring it to that city.
Well, I was going to say, why couldn't she be behind the scenes? But it's part of her name that's got to be on it, and that's what she wants to promote.
That's right. Yeah. It's the Aisha Curry. It's her portfolio. Yeah. She wants to get out there. Clearly, she likes the spotlight, too.
Yeah.
You know, she's got books out, I believe, and restaurants and shows, and she's on Instagram and Twitter and all that. Is there a villain that would set up a restaurant in Toronto that you think...
Daniel Alfredson.
Alfie's
Spaghetti House.
That would get like
Swedish meatballs.
That would get like a one on Yelp. Yeah, I could see some lunatic Leaf fans doing
Alfie's
that.
Swedish meatballs and Spaghetti House would just be ruined.
Down on like the Esplanade.
Yeah.
Barely gets open a week and it's out of business.
Yeah.
Feathers in
there,
crickets.
Alfie
would have been the guy at the time. I don't know if it resonates anymore.
And on the TVs inside, he'd just have himself cross-checking Darcy Tucker on a replay and then scoring.
And then faking to throw his broken stick out of the rink when he was mocking Mats.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, people really...
He was despised here, which was weird because he was always on the wrong side of victory anyway.
Yeah,
the Leafs beat him every single year in the playoffs.
Dominate it. Like, you're right.
I can't think of anybody else that would get destroyed on Yelp.
What if Vince Carter opened up a restaurant?
No. He can't be a guy that played for the Raps.
But he's the most hated guy in Raptors history, and he played for the team.
But isn't he a 50-50 guy now? People are starting to come back around on him.
Oh, yeah. They gave him cheers. And
wouldn't people like to
see him? He saluted the crowd. How many times has he saluted the crowd coming back here?
Well, the guy's in his 40s now. He keeps re-signing and coming back, and he keeps playing. He had a pretty good year for a guy in his 40s.
Maybe the Raptors will bring him back for 1 year.
I don't think he wants it. I mean, by all accounts, he doesn't want to come up here and deal with that.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting survey, though. How would a Vince Carter restaurant go over in Toronto? Now, I know, like 10 years ago.
No guy.
Don't even think about it. Today, it might work.
Larry Murphy.
Larry
Murphy. How would a Larry Murphy, Murphy's
something that
lobster house or something like that?
Yeah.
Something. Larry Murphy's Irish pub.
I think people have basically apologized to Larry Murphy.
He trolled them. He actually trolled them by going and winning.
Yeah, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and he won cups in Detroit. But I think a lot of Leaf fans look back on that and be like, maybe we should have given Larry a little bit more room to grow here in his backyard, his hometown.
Exactly.
That better not. The Larry Murphy treatment better not show up in the Tavares video. Yeah. Hometown guy, always wanted to play for the team, comes home and gets booed out of the city.
Larry Murphy or David Clarkson, those jerseys should not be shown up in the
video. No. Feel free to send in tweets, texts, or emails.
That's an interesting one. I don't know many villains, though. Are there any baseball villains?
Well, someone said Rougned Odor after he laid out Joey Bats.
Yeah?
Maybe. Rougned Odor's whatever.
Yeah, what nationality is he?
He's Dominican, I think, or Venezuelan, or
oh yeah, Rougned Odor. Rougned Odor's Steak and Seafood.
There you go, steakhouse.
Give that a 1 star on Yelp and get out of here. No, he'd probably put a spin on it, like
the food smells
punch
great,
out.
There's no odor.
Yeah, it's a Joey Bats, you know, and it would be like a hot
take a
sauce.
Run at Bautista.
Yeah, he would have a spin on it.
Yeah.
But there aren't a lot of villains.
No, there really aren't that many. We need more villains in Toronto. Like, LeBron should be a villain, but it's like we didn't do enough to him.
But he just kills people. He just destroys Toronto.
Sometimes
and goes,
when the guy's too
good,
you don't hate it that much because you're like, oh, we couldn't have done anything.
Yeah. That's why, like, he should be a villain. Like, he's knocked him out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Was it 3 years in a row? And embarrassed them 2 years in a row. They've been swept twice by him. He should be, like, villain number one, but it's almost like we respect him too much.
Right.
Like, we're more pro-LeBron than we are pro-Raptors, in a way.
Right. Ryan writes in, Carey Frazier might not get a lot of love.
If he set up, like, a barber shop somewhere, Carey Frazier's barber shop and salon.
He'd get a 1 star.
1 star on Yelp for Carey. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of villains
Carey
against
Frazier's barber shop.
Best hair in the business.
He does.
He still has a great salad.
He does.
Great salad. All right, Darren Dreger will join us here in a moment. Dreg's already down there in Dallas. Sounds like the NHL salary cap is going up about $3 million, maybe $4 million. And I don't know what that's going to mean for the Maple Leafs. Like, it's difficult to get a read on what their plan is. By all accounts, based on reports, they'd like to chat with John Tavares. If they talk to him, that means they'd ideally like to sign him. They're not going to waste time on that.
Right.
So an extra $3 or $4 million goes a long way. But we also don't know exactly what Tavares is worth or what he's going to be asking for or what he's going to get.
Right.
You know, like I could see anywhere from $10 million. I don't think he's getting under $10
million
a year.
No.
But I don't think, quite frankly, I don't think he deserves more than 12. I really don't. I think Tavares is a really good player, but that's McDavid territory.
No,
where Sid should be. That's where Doughty should be when he signs. Tavares is a step below those guys.
The only reason it would be 12 is it's a team that you get in a bit of a bidding war. It's 7 years, 12, and that's, I don't know if Montreal does that. I don't know if
Montreal is so desperate for center ice, you would have to think that they would be sniffing around that number.
Yeah, I would think so.
Like,
I would think that you'd have to be close to that number.
They're in Leaf territory.
But they also could put
Matt Sundin left, and for years, no centerman.
But they could also put together a video, like of the history of Montreal. Now, it may not resonate the same because of where JT's from. But, like, reading Max Domi's comments about being going from Arizona to Montreal, I mean, regardless of what you think, if you're not a Habs fan or what, it is intimidating. Like, the Habs, like, that city in two languages is as passionate as Toronto in one, right? Like, they love their team. They love and hate their team, just like this. Like, it's intimidating. But it's also, if you win there, and you talk to people that won a cup, I mean, obviously in the 90s and that, like, it's one of the greatest feelings, too. So it's, I'm sure they would put together something. They, you know, part
oh,
of
they're 100% putting together something. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to listen to them.
He may not be on there. They may not be on his list.
No.
Yeah.
Well, if it's all about winning.
Put together the package and deal. Nope.
Well, they'll know. You probably would have a feeling that you talk to the agent and say yes or no. You want a proposal or not? That's it.
Agreed.
Well, the Sharks, based on their move yesterday, a lot of people trying to connect those dots that they've cleared space. And maybe they know something we don't know. And it may not be Tavares. It could be Kovalchuk.
In November.
He's been saying San Jose the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, based on that player movement and the money moving around, it may be Kovalchuk, who, again, we're not talking a lot about, but he was in California, I think, last week meeting with them.
Making the rounds, yeah.
They may know we've got him, and it's 6.5 a year for 2 or 3 years or whatever, so let's clear the money out. Yeah. So we've got him, and then let's continue to push and try to get a meeting with Tavares.
Yeah, because you move Bodker's monies off the books, which is $4 million. If you don't re-sign Joe Thornton, there's another $6.6 million. Like, that's north of 10 off the books right away.
Mm-hmm.
That could be Tavares' money right there.
I don't think Joe's going to sign for 6.6 after.
No. From what he made last year, so it's off the books.
Yeah.
So he's not going to get that now. But people, I get notes all the time. How about Thornton as a fourth line center here in Toronto?
People are.
I don't see it.
I don't see it.
He's too injury prone now. His knees have just completely buckled on him.
I understand. But I
also don't think he wants to come up here. They wanted to get him here last year, and he said no.
I try to write people back as much as I can, but I don't see that one.
How about this pizzeria downtown?
What do you?
I can't confirm or deny it's the best pie in town. JFJ's Pizzeria.
I would go in there and rub raw chicken all over my face and proceed to eat and get on Yelp.
Just bury Fergie's new pizza joint downtown.
Yeah, the Fergler's pizza joint.
I can't confirm or deny it's the best pie in town.
That's how you have to. That's how you have
That's
to order.
Slogan.
What would you like? Can't confirm.
I can't confirm or deny, but I'll take an extra large pepperoni.
No one ever ends up ordering. They just say, I can't confirm or deny.
Or the delivery time is can't confirm or deny if it's going to be 30 to 45 minutes.
Right. On Skip the Dishes. Any chance I could get a Fergie pie delivered to me? Can't confirm or deny that.
The Fergler. Interesting.
Yeah, and he would just look at someone's burnt pizza and just say, well, the cutlery's got to be lined up a little bit differently on the table, because that's what he does. Micromanages.
How about a speech? Like, maybe it's, we just acquired Yannick Perreault.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we've made a transaction. I can't confirm or deny, but we've got Yannick Perreault coming in from Phoenix. Let's make a push here.
What's this guy talking about?
Just acquire Gordon Ramsay. I can't confirm or deny that we've just acquired Gordon Ramsay.
Exactly.
At Fergie's Pizzeria.
Fergie's Pizzeria.
That would not get many stars on Yelp.
How about Caber? Would Caber's be full?
I think it would be.
Caber's would be like
I
a buffet.
So.
No. The ugly face makeup parlor. Come and get your face done before weddings, proms, and events.
We're going to have to ask Caber.
Ugly face.
Caber what his store would be called when he calls.
We're
in
calling
on
him on Friday, I think.
Yeah.
4:30, we're having ugly face on.
Our annual draft party with Brian McCabe.
That would be his place. Ugly Faces Makeup Boutique.
With jibs on the side.
Yeah.
You can throw in a new set of teeth.
Or Brian McCabe's Dental Office.
Dentistry, yes.
I like it. All right, Josh Lewenberg's coming up in studio. I don't think we're tracking down Dreg, so we'll see what's going on. He's down in Dallas. He's moving and shaking. He's talking with people.
Exactly.
He's got a lot of things on the go.
Yeah.
So Josh Lewenberg will be in studio.
Sometime.
At some point this afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Thanks for listening to Overdrive. Visit tsn1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also award five runners-up with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less and play more with underpar.com.
Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. We're up on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted from the show online at tsn1050.ca and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. So we were talking about this Ayesha Curry stuff in Houston where she's going to open up a new restaurant in Houston and she's Steph Curry's wife. And the Yelp reviews are already coming in from Rockets fans who are sour because Steph has owned them for years and just crushing the reputation of the restaurant before it even opens up. And we posed the question, is there any villain in Toronto sports history that could open up a restaurant here in Toronto that would lead to people doing the same thing? And someone brought up Aki's Burgers. Poor Aki Berg.
He did nothing wrong.
Well, he was a plug, but...
Aki's Burgers.
I'm saying, like, he didn't skate around the ice with his middle finger up or anything. Just played hard and didn't...
And now he's a finished trainer, which
exactly.
is a great
now
transition.
He's a trainer for TPS, I believe.
And we also threw out the idea of Vince Carter opening up a restaurant here in Toronto. Yes. I still think it would get bad Yelp reviews. 10 years 50-50. Ago, it would have never happened. But we've got an expert on this yes. kind of conversation in studio, our buddy Josh Lewenberg, Raptors reporter. What's happening, Josh?
Not much, guys. Yeah, I think it would be 50-50 for the Vince Carter. How about the Andrea Bargnani Spaghetti Factory, sponsored by Primo Pasta?
Good question. He always had those Primo Pasta commercials going.
Great commercials.
Couldn't speak English. He'd just be sitting there eating Primo Pasta.
Hito Turkoglu?
Turkoglu, I think, maybe more hated.
What about Paul Pierce? Toronto villain.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, he's always taken shots at them, right? And did play in the division forever. And then
what was his comment
Brooklyn.
After the series? It was like
they didn't have it. Yeah, the it factor. Yeah.
Well, was that when he was in Washington or Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
It was Washington, I think.
But it was after the sweep, I think, right? Against Washington.
It was before the series against Washington where they got swept.
But wasn't? I mean, didn't Chris Bosh basically say that on our show?
Yeah,
that
he did.
The Raptors didn't have it.
It's like, all true. It just pisses people off.
Well, they got swept in that series right. where they didn't have it, and they've been swept twice since, so right. they probably don't have it.
They haven't found it.
They got to find it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, this is a big offseason, needless to say. The draft is tomorrow night. They don't have a pick in the draft. They don't have really any flexibility in terms of the cap. Fred VanVleet needs a new contract, which means they probably have to go into the luxury if they want to sign him.
For the first time in franchise history.
So, I mean, where's your head at going into the next 2 or 3 weeks?
It is a big offseason, but it seems sort of weird to say that because they're all big offseasons. We said that last offseason as well. But what makes this so interesting to me is last year was a crossroads for them, right? Lowry was a free agent. Ibaka was a free agent. They had just come off of that disappointing playoff exit. And the sense that I got then, the sense that I still get now, is if Lowry would have left, they were strongly considering pulling the plug and taking a significant step back, which probably would have included a DeMar DeRozan trade, and all of a sudden you're starting from scratch again and building around young players. In the end, the market for Lowry dries up and they end up recommitting to this core. So that was a crossroads. That doesn't seem to be the case this time around. Publicly and privately, Raptors management is insisting that they don't intend to rebuild, they don't intend to take a significant step back in the short term. So this is more of a roadblock than anything else. They want to win. They want to get better. But to your point, Brian, they've got an expensive core that they're committed to, and they've got limited resources to add around that core. So how do they do it?
Well, I also think the LeBron story is hanging over the whole offseason in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I mean, over the whole NBA. But him leaving the East allows them to probably do nothing and still win the offseason in a weird way. You know, Boston would spin it as a win. Philly would spin it as a win. Cleveland, a huge loss. But if you get rid of LeBron, it changes everything in the Eastern Conference. And I think that's probably the best thing that can happen for Masai, if we're being realistic. I mean, I don't think they're in on Kawhi Leonard. Like, I don't picture that. I think they should be. I don't care if he wants to go to L.A. He's got 2 years left on his deal.
Well, one, he can opt out after the one.
But I would do whatever I could to acquire a guy like Kawhi Leonard, especially if LeBron goes to the West. You bring in Kawhi Leonard into this team, even if it is only for a year, if you can manage that, and I don't know how they would go about it. I mean, it would cost them kids and maybe one of their star players. But
is that
changes
kind of talk
everything.
Just fantasy talk? Like, can they ever land a big fish like that here?
No, I mean, the Kawhi thing is really interesting to me because, I mean, there's a dilemma here that's similar to the Paul George dilemma a year ago. It's a similar situation, right? You've got an all-star who's entering presumably the final year of his contract. So the question is, if you're a team that's interested, how much are you willing to give up for a guy that could walk in a year? And with Kawhi, there's even more question marks than with Paul George because of the injury thing, and maybe there's a question about the mental state coming off of whatever this bizarre situation was in San Antonio this year. But I think what happened last year is OKC set a very interesting precedent. They took the risk, and they said, okay, well, we've got a year now to convince this guy, Paul George, to stay. Indiana set an interesting precedent by saying, okay, well, you want to go to the Lakers? Great. That's not our best offer. We're not going to do it. We're going to trade you here. And then what the Lakers did last year, what they didn't do, could change things this time around also, because the Lakers, I think, looked at what the situation was, said, okay, we can probably get this guy in a year anyways.
Right.
Nobody else is going to trade for him if they know he's coming here. We can lowball Indiana, probably get away with it. And in the end, that probably cost them. They didn't get Paul George last year. They might not get him this year. It sounds like he might stay in OKC. So maybe the Lakers are more motivated to pony up and to pay whatever price it is that San Antonio will be asking for. So I don't know. The Kawhi Leonard situation is really interesting. If the Raptors or anyone want to get involved, I don't see that coming to a head anytime soon. Pop is not the type of guy to overreact to something and act quickly. That's going to take some time. And listen, I mean, if anyone is going to put their foot down and say, we're not going to honor your trade request, and we're certainly not going to facilitate the creation of another super team, it's probably Pop.
Well, I think the NBA needs someone to do that at some point. The power swing in favor of the players has been so overwhelming.
Led by LeBron.
Led by LeBron. You know, and listen, I'm not pro-owner. When in doubt, I'm pro-player. But I still think you got to consider the fans of these respective cities. And it's gotten to a point where in the NBA, contracts don't matter that much because you look at what Kyrie Irving did last year. He's like, I want out. And they're like, okay, I guess we have to trade you. He got everything right. He wanted. Goes to Boston, quality team. He's probably going to get re-upped there if he wants to stay. Maybe he leaves in 2 years. There's already rumors he's going to want to play with the Knicks in 2 years. But at some point, someone in the NBA, and I do think it would be a guy like Popovich, clearly, has to say, sorry, if you want to walk when you opt out, you're a free agent. Like, go ahead. But we're not trading you simply because you want out. So at some point, it's got to stop. Don't you think?
Right. Don't you think he, after what happened last, he would just sit out again?
Well, he might, but that's fine then. Then you've got a whole different scenario.
Yeah,
then you've got a breach of contract. You've got lawsuits on your hands. I mean, at some point, if Kawhi Leonard just decides I'm never playing for you again and stays home,
right,
then I honestly don't know how that would play out with the PA. And
well,
the
it gets to a point where the team, they ultimately have to move him because it's just.
But they should move him on their terms.
Yeah.
That's they
and their best offer, exactly. Not just because he doesn't have a no-trade clause. He can't force
exactly.
his way to the
That's
Lakers.
Great, you want to go to the Lakers? Exactly. Sorry, not happening.
That's you can't. The player has rights, but the organization has to do what's best for them, not just the player. And if the player doesn't want to be there, fine. On our timetable, we will move you for the best offer that we can get. And it doesn't have to be Organization X. It's got to go somewhere.
Right. We've never seen this before in the NBA, I don't think. Obviously, LeBron set an interesting precedent for players controlling their destiny by not only going where he wanted and leaving Cleveland the first time, but ultimately designing that super team that he went to. But now it's gone a step further, right? Because these players are dictating their destiny before they're even free agents. Kawhi's doing it a year before. Paul George did it a year before.
Kyrie
did it a year before.
Melo did it back in the day.
It used to be you were a free agent. You kept it pretty quiet up until that moment. Tracy McGrady, Chris Bosh here locally in Toronto. And then you make your decision. And sometimes maybe this is better for the franchise because now you have an opportunity to do something and to get something for that player before they ultimately leave. But it's an interesting shift in sort of the NBA economy or NBA trade dynamics, player dynamics that we've never seen before.
Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter in studio. So what do you make of these rumors and reports that Masai wants to not only get into the draft tomorrow night, he doesn't even have a pick, the Raptors don't have a first or second rounder, but wants to move into the top 10 and potentially is targeting Gilgeous-Alexander out of Kentucky.
Now, as you guys know, if there's information that's out there at this time of the year, it's out there for a reason. Right. Somebody's leaking it and they have something to gain from it. So if we're looking at this specific rumor, the Raptors aren't leaking that. They're airtight at this time of the year, and they have nothing to gain from it. I can certainly see another team, if Masai's been talking to them, trying to get a pick, saying, Masai's been talking to us, they're trying to get a pick. But in that scenario, Masai's not going to them and saying, this is the player we'd want to draft.
Yeah, so you have to be an idiot to do that.
It's not coming from another team. My best guess would be it's coming from the agent, maybe trying to drum up some interest in his client using the Canadian angle. And by the way, his client, Gilgeous-Alexander, hasn't been working out for any teams. So there would be an obvious incentive to be drumming up some interest here by stirring it up.
Like, why would a potential top 10 pick not be working out for teams?
Generally, when that's happened before, it's because a team has promised to take him, and some people might raise an eyebrow here and say, well, could it be the Raptors? But the Raptors don't have a pick.
They don't have a pick.
There's no guarantee they're going to get in there. So if you're this kid, you're not going to stop working out for teams because a team that might be able to acquire a pick says they like you. So I don't know.
That sounds like strange advice. I mean, it's one thing if you're DeAndre Ayton and you're like, I'm going first and I feel like I am, fine, work out for Phoenix and nobody else. Right. Maybe if you're another guy like who's expected to go in the top three or five of the draft, but Gilgeous-Alexander is not expected to be a top five pick.
I don't think I'd work out for anybody. I would be afraid of it hurting my status. Like,
yes.
I have a bad word. I wouldn't do it.
Absolutely. His stock has been rising. And
without working out,
Well, going into this draft process, his stock was rising because, and this is interesting, a Canadian prospect could be a lottery pick. In the past, Jamal Murray, how much do we talk about and hear about Jamal Murray? We're already talking about R.J. Barrett. Who's talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
He's gone completely under the radar this weekend, until the Raptors report.
But his stock is climbing, and as much as I like his game, and I do, his game isn't necessarily one that translates well to workouts. He's not a great shooter, and that's what I mean. Workouts, you're taking a lot of shots. You're playing one versus oh. He's a guy that in a team context, like a DeLon Wright, he's long, he's rangy, he's a good defensive player. He's got intriguing measurables, but I don't know that he'd excel in a workout environment. So I agree with I think if anything, the workouts would hurt him.
Starts clanking it around.
It's brick after brick. He goes Houston in game 7.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I also wonder if it's you're hiding an injury. Like that, this time of year, maybe. That's happening all the time. We're seeing that with Michael Porter. Like no one knows what's up with him. You see it with a lot of the bigs. And what's interesting about this, where the NBA is going, I mean, it's moving towards the three-point line. It's moving towards, you know, smaller players basically being in the lineup 1 through 5. Yet, the majority of the top five that is expected to go are bigs.
Yeah, young bigs.
Right. Like 7-foot bigs, like conventional centers. Like Ayton can shoot threes, but this guy's not, I don't see it being a big part of his game, and he's probably going to go first overall.
It's interesting because even after this shift that we've seen over the years in positional versatility and small ball and all of that, there's still that intrigue in the physical freak. Everyone wants to find the next unicorn. Everyone wants to find the next Giannis or Anthony Davis or any of these guys, really, so much so that we're seeing Luka Doncic, an exceptionally talented player that seems like not only has a high upside but might be the safest player up top. He's falling because he's not the sexy pick,
he's
presumably.
Not a unicorn.
Because
he's not
a unicorn.
Singles. Right. Yeah. Which I think is silly. I mean, quite the way that he plays. He's a guard. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. I mean, I don't know. But it'll be interesting tomorrow night. As for free agency and the Raptors, what do you see happening here with, like, Van Fleet? That's about it. I mean, really, in terms of the money they have to spend here, what do you see going on with the Raptors?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they want to keep Van Vliet, and that might be one of the reasons why I'm hearing Norman Powell's name out there in terms of somebody that they're looking to move, maybe just to clear out some of that salary in order to sign Van Vliet. They've got Van Vliet's bird rights, so they can go over the cap and into the tax. They're already over the cap and already into the tax in order to sign him, but moving Powell, if they can do it, not easy. If they can do it, they can do it. Maybe it gives them a little bit more wiggle room. So that's something to keep an eye on. But, I mean, a wild card in all of this is the trade exceptions that the Raptors got last year for Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph. The big one is about $12 million. They can't be combined and they can't be used in a package with other players. But basically what it does is it allows them to absorb money in a trade. So if they decide we're okay with paying the tax, we'll go deep into the tax, we want to add a piece, that might be their only way of doing it. It's essentially like signing a free agent. And maybe it allows them to take part in all of this LeBron craziness indirectly, where teams, maybe a Houston, teams that need to clear out good, useful pieces in order to sign LeBron.
Raptors could get in on that.
They can absorb a salary worth upwards of $12 million. So that, I mean, I'm not sure that it's likely, because ultimately they'd still have to pay the tax on that guy and they'd be going deep into the tax to do it. But if it's somebody they like enough.
Well, I would hope so. MLSC's got all the money in the world.
Maybe they should keep their eye on that 12-year-old, 6'10" kid out of Montreal. Have you heard about this
kid?
Can
he rebound?
I don't
know,
man.
Can he rebound? He doesn't have to.
He just stand there. 6'10", and he's 12 years old.
Crushing people.
Like, I keep reading about it, and apparently he caught the eyes of, like, Embiid and some other players, like, tweeted at him.
Yeah. The NBA players are paying attention.
Masai's already in a gym somewhere watching this guy. He's hiding behind a newspaper with a baseball cap on.
Start to, you know, get in that ear as quickly as possible. It's the only move. Well, we'll see, man. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. And, you know, another thing to consider from MLSE's standpoint in terms of them paying the luxury tax, they're saving money on the coach now, too. Like, Nurse is getting paid, what, $3 million? Casey was making $6.5 million,
I think. Yeah, double that.
So, you know, it's minor, but it's still, it should be calculated in terms of the whole picture here. And I'd like to believe, because they always say it, you know, they always say it, if it's the right move or it's the right time, we're willing to go into the luxury. Well, coming off 59 wins, LeBron potentially going to the Western Conference, now is the right time.
And they were setting themselves up last summer with everything they did, the Lowry contract, Ibaka, to pay the tax this year. That seemed to be their intention. They've always said, we'll pay it in the right circumstance. Now, if they had lived up to expectations, even taking Cleveland to six or seven game, whatever, they didn't even have to win that series, I think it's a no-brainer you pay the tax. Now, if you're Masai, and certainly if you're MLSE, maybe you think twice, just because there is that question of whether or not this team is truly good enough. But as I said, they're telling us publicly and privately, they're not rebuilding, they're not taking a step back. If you're not taking a step back, you probably shouldn't be opting for status quo. You want to take a step forward, and if you're taking a step forward,
it's going to cost you some money.
You've got to pay for it.
That's the way it goes. He's Josh Leuenberger, a Raptors reporter for TSN. We appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for coming up here. Good seeing you.
Anytime, boys. Happy to do it.
There he is. Josh Leuenberger up here in studio, fighting traffic to get up here.
Battled.
Grinder. Grit grinder. Our best bets brought to you by ProLine coming up. NHL awards tonight. Maybe we'll spin around some ideas of who's going to win the big awards tonight.
And one more company downtown that was brought to my attention.
We'll get to that next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the baseball board tonight. Take the Yankees at home against Seattle. Houston by two at home against Tampa. And a rare win for Kansas City at home. Throw down 20, you can score 67. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Wonder what it was paying for Jay Happ to pitch into the ninth inning today.
Hopefully it'll pay for the Blue Jays when they trade him.
Yeah. Maybe he's starting to get some heat going. And
it's a must-trade situation.
Yeah, they can get some good value for him.
Yeah. He's honestly in a weird. Donaldson should be more valuable,
right?
But now this guy's back in Florida rehabbing again.
So that means he's got to come back and do another 2 weeks of that other nonsense he was doing on the field in his tank top.
Yeah,
it seems like it's a month.
I have no idea when he's coming back, but once he gets back, then he's got to ease back into it. Like I find it hard to believe between now and the trade deadline, he looks 100%. Like I'm talking like across the board, he's got power, he's hitting for power, His on-base percentage is high.
So does that hurts his trade value?
Well, absolutely. For sure.
No.
So, anyway. Do you have another store idea that may not get much Yelp in Toronto?
Brian Colangelo and family phone repair.
Yeah, that
run by his wife.
Wouldn't be good, man.
No. She's the CEO.
Yeah.
CEO of that.
Burner Phones at Yorkdale.
I think Aki Burgers is my favorite.
That's the best
one. I like that one.
I like the I can't confirm or deny pizzeria.
Yeah, the JFJ, the Fergler's Burger Pizzeria.
Can't confirm. The menu just says can't confirm or deny what any of this is.
But we don't even know if it's food. Can't confirm or deny anything.
Not sure.
You just come in and you stand there and then you leave. Don't forget to visit tsn1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also be awarding 5 runner-ups with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less and play more with underpar.com. Great website. Really cool idea. Again, get online, tsn1050.ca. Throw your name in the hat. We can confirm that we will be giving this away.
Yes, we won't deny it.
We will not deny that. Think we're going to have any trades, NBA or NHL, between now and 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon?
Yes. Yes, we will.
Everybody's starting to get into Dallas. Who knows what happens?
I think you're starting to, everyone's there. Get a couple drinks, put something together tonight on a bar napkin, and then sort it out tomorrow with a conference call.
I hope you're right.
Looking at it.
I hope you're right.
I think we're looking at it.
I still think it's crazy. The one draft that could go berserk and we're not going to be there.
I know.
And we've had some doozies.
Well, what names are out there? Like Erik Karlsson being number one.
Yeah.
Phil Kessel's out there. Milan Lucic is out there.
Jeff Skinner's one for me.
Jeff Skinner, Ryan O'Reilly in Buffalo.
Yeah, Ryan O'Reilly's a big one too. I think he comes with a lot of money, but he's a good player. So that's one that's interesting for me.
I find it crazy that Buffalo wants to move away from that. I know it's about the money, but if you want to become better, isn't he a part of the future? That's why you got him in the first place.
Well, and they got him, too, to help some of those young kids.
Yeah. Like so after 2 years, you just say, oh, no. No way.
He's a good player.
He didn't help himself with his attitude at the end of the year.
Yeah,
him going public and saying, I got to be honest, I don't love the game, blah, blah, blah. If I'm stroking a check for $7.5 million, that's probably going to rub me the wrong way, too.
Boy, he just doesn't love the game there. That's the problem. They've had such little success.
I hear you, but
man, yeah,
you got to be careful with what you say.
Yeah.
You got to act professionally, and you got to, especially if you are playing that mentor role. You know, having that kind of an attitude, that's a tough one, man.
All we can hope is that there's a few transactions, bombs dropped tonight, and tomorrow we will break it down at
4 p.m.
And we're going to chat then.